Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is more concerned with our character than our comfort. He's more concerned with our holiness than our happiness, with our righteousness than our recreation.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Thank you very much, Corey, and it's exciting to be with you today, Truth Seekers, as always, to see what God has in store for us today. I don't know what you're going through. Wherever you are, I probably don't even know you, and you don't know me except for through this radio, but let me tell you some things that you and I have in common. Number one, we're living in this life, aren't we? And life comes with its own set of rules, and life comes with its own set of difficulties. Life happens to us all. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and Jesus even told his disciples, those that were closer to him than anyone, that in this world they would experience tribulation. So we have this in common, that we are both, you and I, living in this world, dealing with life. We have another thing in common too. God is in control. Amen. Life is not in control of you if you are a child of God. Just the opposite, really. When you're a child of God and you're living a life whereby the Holy Spirit has access to your heart and full latitude to work in you, through you, then God maintains the control over your day-to-day existence. The other option is very simple. If you don't want God to have control, then you are more than within your right to say, I'll take care of this, God, and try to do it on your own. But you know what? The reason you and I came to Him to begin with is because we realized down the way through life that our control over our lives not only bottomed us out, but broke down a lot of people around us too. And so today we celebrate life. Life on this earth that was created by God. Life in the Holy Spirit, who is God. Life that is allowing us to minister to those around us who need God. Ultimately, it's all about Him, isn't it? Yes, it is. So let's do this first. As always, I want to begin with a prayer, because we need to pray that over the next 25 minutes or so, that God Himself, that God the Holy Spirit is in charge of this time. You don't need me to spill a bunch of my thoughts and opinions into your ears. You don't need that. We get enough of that at work, at school, sometimes at home. You know what I mean? What we need is the Holy Spirit to implant His divine and perfect knowledge, will, understanding, revelation is what we really need. To put that deep into our hearts so that we're changed to be more like Christ. And if we can experience that in the next few minutes, what a blessing that would be. Heavenly Father, that's our prayer, that whatever happens in the next 25 minutes will be in your hands. God, I ask that you would take me, even though I'm the one speaking into this microphone. Heavenly Father, please take me out of the equation and speak to your people. God, through me, I pray that you would be able to use me. But if you cannot, please speak to them in spite of me. And send the teacher right now, God, the one that makes understanding your word so easy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, wonderful. Guys, if you've been with us the last several weeks, we are beginning a study through the Gospel of Mark. And I was looking the other day, this is the seventh installment, the seventh show in the book of Mark. And right now, we're about to talk about verse 12 and 13 of chapter 1. And I don't know that God will continue this through the entire gospel. I know that at this rate, if he chooses to, this could be a 347-part series, and we may not end till 2021. But if that's his will, then that is the best thing, right? All I know is that today I have some great news to share with you from the Word of God. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses today because this is an amazing experience in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ that we can learn so much from, as we always do from the Word of God. So what I want to do is I want to read to you two verses, and I'm reading out of the New King James, and in this particular passage here, it has the little subtitle that says, "The Temptation of the Servant." The temptation of the servant. We're going to talk about the temptation of Christ today. And there are a couple of other references in the Synoptic Gospels, being in Matthew and Luke, along with Mark, and you can read of the temptation of Christ in all three of these. And I thought for a little bit that I was going to refer back to those, but I'm not. I think there is enough for our show today inside these two verses to really see some neat things. So we're going to stick where we are and allow God to speak to us through these two verses. So I want to read to you the temptation of the servant, Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 12 and read 13. Immediately. Now, this is a huge word for Mark. You see it over and over and over in his gospel. He is the gospel writer of action, event to event. And the word immediately and words like immediately are used quite often by Mark. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That him is a capital H. That's talking about Jesus. 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Okay, one more time, real quickly. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. A lot going on in this time. When you read in Matthew and you read in Luke, you get more of the story pulled together. We know that he was fasting for 40 days. Doesn't say that here. We know that Satan comes to him at least three times, and they have an exchange where Satan tempts him three different ways. Jesus, every time, responds to Satan with Scripture, saying, "It is written." And ultimately, at the end, sends Satan running away with his tail tucked between his legs like the dog that he is. That's my Jesus. Even on the backside of 40 days of fasting and amazingly difficult times that we're about to look into, he still had the strength and the ability, being the Son of God, the perfect Lamb, to send Satan running. Now, we're gonna really put an emphasis on what happened there over the next few minutes. But here's what I want you to see first. What has just taken place right before the Spirit drove him into the wilderness? What just happened? Jesus just experienced the opening event, the christening, if you will, of his earthly ministry. He just came to the Jordan, and John the Baptist put him under the water. He was baptized, signifying that his ministry was now begun. Okay? Just after the baptism of Jesus, the clouds part, the Holy Spirit indwells him as he is baptized by the Spirit. God speaks, "This is my Son." Glory abounds to Jesus and John and those around the river. Then immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He is driven. Now, this word that Mark uses is unlike the other two Gospels that speak of the temptation of Christ. It's a very powerful word. I want to look at it. The Greek word is ekbalo, E-K-B-A-L-L-O, ekbalo. Now, this word in the Greek that we translate into the English word driven, it means to throw out from within, to cast out, to drive out. Here in the first chapter of Mark, we actually see this word a couple more times. I want to read to you where this word is used. Listen to verse 34 in chapter 1. Then Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases. Now watch this. And cast out many demons. That word cast out is ekbalo, same word. Let me read you verse 39. And Jesus was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Same word that Mark uses to describe the spiritual binding and casting out of a demon from a human body, a demon that has possessed someone, is the same word he uses right here describing the Holy Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness. Now, that first part of that definition was to throw out from within. There was the Holy Spirit inside of Christ was powerfully grabbing a hold of his heart and mind, and not a simple wooing into the wilderness. No, he was driving him out immediately. The Holy Spirit impressed upon him greatly, very intense, very action-packed word, very forceful, and cast Jesus into the wilderness. I don't know if you've ever experienced the Holy Spirit like that, but I have. In a moment when you were not expecting it, when you weren't looking for him to move upon you, but all of a sudden you were overwhelmed with the necessary import that you've got to take care of this situation, just like it's put on your heart immediately, or you feel like you're going to explode. It is just an overwhelming driving of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus experienced. Now, I know this. The Holy Spirit only places that upon our heart, only put that upon the heart of Christ, if it was immeasurably important and extremely necessary that what needed to take place in the wilderness took place. This was not something that he could miss out on. There was huge import into what was about to take place in the life of Christ and ultimately in our lives. You're also going to see it's an amazing, important experience that Satan is about to have, that the demons are about to have in the wilderness. The angels are going to be involved, and we are going to be affected by this because we're talking about it again in 2013. How important are these two verses, and specifically this one word, the Holy Spirit drove him out. It's a common word that Mark uses, but an extremely important word. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into a harsh, barren, uninhabited, lonely, and wild place. And that tells me something. The intensity that the Holy Spirit used to drive Jesus into such a harsh and barren and lonely place, it tells me this about the Holy Spirit and how he will relate to you and I. If he will do that to Jesus, how much more do we need him to do that to us? Because we're hard-headed and we're half spiritually blind most of the time and don't see the things that we need. So the Holy Spirit convicts and pushes us into those places. Why will he push us into places, David, that are barren and harsh and uninhabited and lonely and wild? Will he do that to me? I'm a child of God. Yes, he will. When God in heaven knows that his child needs that experience, he loves us enough to do that for us. I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is more concerned with our character than our comfort. He's more concerned with our holiness than our happiness, with our righteousness than our recreation. Let me give you some scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit says through Peter, "In this you greatly, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." This verse tells us, these two verses, that our faith is both necessary and precious, and more specifically, the development of our faith is necessary and precious. And if God deems it necessary, trials may be allowed to grieve us. Now that's some heavy verbiage. That God would allow, that's what the verse said. Listen, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? That the testing of your faith, as in gold by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory
at the revelation of Christ. Although this is allowed to grieve us at times, this should be a point of joy for you and I, because we're given the prospect of a deeper and more effective faith. So that's one reason why the Holy Spirit would do this, because He wants us to improve and to grow and to know. And sometimes we improve and we grow and we know through the trial, through the trial. Let me give you another reason. It is not beyond the willingness of God. Now watch this. Some of you are going to have trouble with this. It is not beyond the willingness of God to allow Satan, to allow our enemy to tempt us. In fact, there are cases where God allowed Satan himself to do that. Look, it happened to Job, didn't it? Happened to Jesus in the wilderness, didn't it? It happened to Peter, didn't it? Okay, so David, when did it happen to Peter? Quick verse, Luke 22, verse 31. And Jesus said, Simon, indeed, now watch this, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and that when you have returned to me, oh my goodness, what did Jesus just tell Peter? When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you denied you know me three times. You know the story. The point I'm trying to make is this. God is not beyond letting Satan himself in certain situations, but the enemy, tempt us and manipulate us. But you see, these trials, when they come at the hands of the enemy through the willingness of God, these trials are temporary. They're temporary. And they're fruitful. Fruit comes from these hard times, from these stressful moments, from these temptations at the hand of the worst of the enemy. They are fruitful. God knows that. Why? Because God is already existing and living presently in a day to come. He is already in a day to come looking at us. When we have come through that trial and tribulation that Satan or the enemy has placed on us, and we are better for it, we are greater for it, we are more trusting, more faithful, we are more like Christ because of it. They are temporary trials. God doesn't give us to him. God doesn't give us to the enemy, but he lets them slip through the door every now and then to apply their evil and their roadblocks and their temptations, because he knows. Just like a football player going through two-a-days in the hot sun for hours, sweating, hurting, learning, that on the other side of it, we're more ready for the game. And fruit comes from it. But also know this, God would not allow these trials, these tribulations at the hand of the enemy, if he knew they would break our faith or cause us to turn from him. And so is Jesus about to be delivered over to the enemy? Absolutely, for 40 days. Let me show you one more thing. Many times these trials, these tests, come on the heels of a great breakthrough or a great victory that we've experienced. You know, our enemy, he often comes in moments like these, and his desire and his plan is a good plan if you're a bad devil, okay? I'm not saying that it's a good for us, but Satan knows when we've come through a breakthrough in our life and when we've received revelation from the Lord, when a victory has been given to us at the hands of God Almighty, he knows that he better get to work quick to steal away that good thing, to put us through trial, to put us through tribulation. He knows that if we are allowed to grow in that moment untested by the enemy and receive all that Christ has for us in that moment and apply it to us and see that coming out, he knows that he loses ground and we become stronger for the kingdom. So in these moments, his intent is to steal away the seeds that were planted
before they have an opportunity to even take root and bear fruit. We're talking about the parable of the sower here, and that's in Mark chapter 4, and maybe one of these days we'll get to that, because it's unbelievable what Christ teaches through the parable of the sower. But one of the soils, the first one he points out, he says that some people's heart is like the soil on the road or the wayside, the roads that cut by the wheat fields that are trodden down, hardened ground. And the seed of the word comes and falls on these hardened areas in our hearts. And the birds, which represent the enemy, can swoop in and easily pick up those seeds before they ever make it down into the dirt. And I want you to know this, and so many times when I've seen God move on a service or in a crowd or on the streets or in someone's living room or across the table from someone, when I see the Holy Spirit move and a breakthrough happens in that life and you see the tears begin to flow and the burdens are lifted, and sometimes it's salvation that is brought and sometimes it's healing or deliverance, and you see God do what God does. So often God puts on my heart and mind, tell them to be ready. The enemy's coming. The enemy is coming. And many times, on the heels of our greatest moments with the Lord, the enemy comes and steals it away. I've seen this happen. You know, church that I was ministering at for a while, the youth of the church went to a weekend crusade type deal. It was a Choir of the Fire, I believe. Hot Hearts or Choir of the Fire. I think it was a Choir of the Fire weekend in Dallas. And they had amazing time with the Lord. There were those, the kids were saved, some were just freed from stuff they'd been going through. And they came home, and they were excited to get before their church, who was excited for them, and to report and to give testimony. And I'll never forget talking to the youth minister about a week later. He said they got together on Wednesday night. Now, they came back on Sunday and told us how wonderful it was, and we saw the benefits of what God had done. That next Wednesday, they got together, and he said it was amazing, as we talked about this. It was amazing what happened between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the life of all these kids that completely shut them down. And they were burdened again, and they were frustrated. And different things had happened to them that just brought them to a low place. And I was able to minister to this youth pastor, and say, you know, we should have been ready. We should have been ready, because the enemy always comes like this. Jesus had just experienced the baptism, both in water and of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit there in the Jordan River, the voice of God boomed over those that were there. Amazing. Heaven's part. The Holy Spirit descends. An amazing opportunity, an amazing experience. And immediately he goes into the wilderness for the greatest trial of his life to that point. For 40 days, guys. Immediately. Jesus, I want to point out a couple more things, and then we're going to run out of time. We may have to come back next week and finish this look at the temptation of Christ. But I want to get to this. Jesus did not resist the Holy Spirit driving him into the wilderness. He knew what was coming. He knew that it would be a 40 days of temptation and constant onslaught by the devil. He knew it would be a 40 days of fasting. It would be so bad that the heavenly angels would have to come and minister to him so that he could get through the next moment. But he did not resist. Why? Why did he not balk against the Spirit when the Spirit began to drive him toward those 40 days of loneliness? Because he was of like mind with the Spirit. That's why. Jesus and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, were one. And he trusted and he went. We, on the other hand, don't we tend to fight and buck against the Spirit in the process? This process that we're in, this sanctification process, it is the means by which the Holy Spirit makes us more and more like Christ. That's our goal, right? You're not going to ask a single Christian, do you want to be more like Christ? And they say, well, no way. Obviously, we want that. But we just don't want to have to deal with the process to get there. And we fight and we rebel and we say, no, God, and we go our own way. And the Holy Spirit is in constant fighting against us, fighting against Him, our flesh and the Spirit pounding against each other just to try to get us down the road a step further because we rebel against the process. There's good news. The further we get along in the process, sometimes kicking and screaming, we will improve on this. As we are drawn further and further into relationship with God, through the Holy Spirit, because of Christ and His work on the cross, the further we get down the road, the more we will improve on giving in to the process. Because the end result of 40 days of temptation and trial in the life of Jesus Christ, in a nutshell, was this. At the end of this time, through this temptation, Satan found out something. He found out that Jesus had no weaknesses. He found out that Jesus was whole and perfect, and that sin had no power over Him. After these 40 days, the demons would now recognize Jesus and tremble in His very presence. And it was through the fire of the trial and the tribulation that we found out who the Son of God was and what He could do. And so did the enemy. I don't know what you're going through. Your trial, your tribulation, your testing right now. It may be great, but you listen to me, truth seeker. Hold on. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Lean on Him, because when you get through, you're going to be more like Jesus Christ. And ain't nothing wrong with that. You keep seeking the truth. We'll see you next week.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.